It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now. Save big money at
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Apple Podcasts, on Android, Spotify, or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our Discord server, $2.99 per month, taking episode suggestions directly from Off the Floor the entire month. Also, you communicate with Heat fans and us all season and all off season long. Link is right here in the description. Also, check out Prize Picks. Yes, we know the NFL preseason has started, and they've got all kinds of promos on there. So check it out. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. Put down $5 for a play. You'll get $50 more to play. No strings attached. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E, at prizepicks.com, the Google Play Store, or the Apple App Store, and get your promo today. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne.
Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor plan, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And pat we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick at Five Reasons Sports. We got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. We just did a very long episode on the Eastern Conference, reviewing all of the offseason moves. We're going to keep it a little bit tighter here on the West, but we are going to go through all of these teams and give our quick grades. Like doing this because, again, there's some transactions that happen under the radar, and until you put it all in perspective with the draft and with free agency, it's hard to know exactly where teams are. Now, the Eastern Conference, of course, has more, has more value, I think, to people in terms of where the Heat stands, because, you know, the Western Conference, you're only going to see these teams a couple of times. And then obviously, if you get to the finals, but there was a lot of turnover in the West, and we're going to get to it because there are some interesting teams that could pop this year. And I also think in general, just because the bottom of the East is so bad that you're still looking at conference tilt towards the West. I don't know if this is still the case, Alex. But at one point, and this has gone like 20 years, I'll have to look to see if it's changed. Since 1999, when the Knicks were the eighth seed, and that was actually a lockout shortened season, so there were only 50 games. The Knicks in 99 were the last team to have a better record as the eighth seed than the eighth seed in the West. That went on for like 18, 19, 20 years. I think it flipped one year. I'll have to take a look at it. But typically, the depth in the Western Conference has been better. It's just been better consistently over the years. And there's all kinds of explanations for it, none of which make a whole lot of sense. But these cycles that are supposed to happen have not really happened in the NBA. But let's get to it. And first, the team that was kind of the surprise finalist last year, the Dallas Mavericks, who made their moves during last season, drafting Derek Lively, but picking up Gafford and also PJ Washington in trades. But here was their big move this offseason. I'm just curious what you think of this one. First thing, Tim Hardaway is gone. Quentin Grimes is in. We discussed that from the Detroit side. But the big move was Klay Thompson. So essentially, he came over in a sign and trade. I'm looking for the exact specifics of this. There wasn't really anything that went out of any great significance, right? Josh Green, I guess, would be the one guy that went out in this massive trade. And he did come over in a sign and trade. So I guess the grade is about, is Klay Thompson enough? Like, this team was a finalist, a surprise finalist. He's more consistent than Tim Hardaway Jr. Right. I mean, obviously one of the greatest shooters of all time, but has he slipped so much that playing him a lot will actually hurt this team? Is there any chance of that?
Well, I guess that the good thing about like this fit, right, is it's a new situation for him in the sense of like, there's no, you don't have the Warriors where it was like, you know, he was one of the biggest reasons for their many championships, right? And it's like there's a certain level. It's kind of like when Dwayne left to Chicago, right? It's like, you know, you're not going to have the same weight in another franchise, you know, now that you're not in your prime anymore. I think they can afford to play around with him and not have him like be like this, you know, 35-minute a game every night starter and closer. Like if he's just not playing to that level, I think they can afford to play other guys. And I think getting Clay was a really nice swing for them despite his decline, because, you know, it's just obvious that the fit next to Kyrie and Clay, I mean, I'm sorry, to Kyrie and Luka, it's just Clay is going to be able to, you know, generate a bunch of, you know, he's going to be shooting a bunch of the generated threes, right? And he doesn't have to do much more than that, right? Whereas with Steph, like, they needed outside of Steph, like, they needed somebody else to step up into the role that Clay used to be in when he was in his prime, and he's just not that guy anymore. So I think him kind of going down a little bit makes sense for them. I think it was a nice move. I think, you know, going from Josh Green to Quentin Grimes, you know, I like it. It's fine. It's about neutral. And then kind of going from Derrick Jones Jr. to Najee Marshall, you know, again, neutral. Like, you kind of replace the guys you lost. You know, those are some good defensive players who are kind of two-way guys for you, can be 3-and-D players. So I think it makes sense, you know, what they did. I would give their offseason, you know, B+, somewhere around there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think B. I think solid enough. Again, they did most of their work during the season, and those guys are back. So Gafford and PJ Washington are back, and those were critical additions. All right, Denver. I'm going to give this a C- off the top. So KCP is gone. That's another piece of their core rotation. He was actually a starter. They'd lost a couple pieces from their core rotation the previous year, starting with Bruce Brown, and it did hurt them. Like, their young players are good, but they don't seem quite ready. And this time around, they've brought in a couple of vets. So actually, Dario Saric, which I kind of like that move in limited minutes, but then Russell Westbrook, which just seems like an odd – and I'm not a Russ hater. I'm really not, but it just seems like such an odd fit on a Jokic team. Like, so Jokic is going to find him and he's going to do what? Dribble a lot? Like, I don't understand how that's going to work.
I actually like this fit. I'm not going to lie to you. And you know what I mean? Like, I've never been the biggest Russ guy. I realize he's not in his prime anymore. I like this fit for him. Like, I think it's a little bit more clear cut than the role that he kind of had at the end there with the Clippers after they had three clear-cut stars, right, be like the focus of their team. Now with this, he's probably going to be a guy who comes off the bench, I imagine. Now if he's starting, you know, that's a whole different conversation, but I think he was coming off the bench, he's going to have some units there where he can create. He'll probably be playing alongside some of those young guys. I did like what they did with their first round pick when Daron Holmes, he's going to be, you know, they needed a young athletic backup big. He can also shoot a bit, can do some stuff with the ball. Like, I liked him as a prospect, so I think that fits that for them. Like, they did a good job threading the needle with like talent and also positional need, right? Because it was a late first round pick. So I like that for them. But Russ, like, I think, like I said, he's going to have some of those bench units. And then when he does get to play with Jokic, like, I think Jokic being, you know, how big of a threat he is from any spot on the floor, the fact that he can create from all over the perimeter, doesn't have to be in the paint, makes him so valuable on offense. And I think is going to be the reason that this fit works, is that you can just have him kind of posted up there around the top of the perimeter, and Russ can do his cutting thing. You know, he's going to have some more space to drive there. I just think it really depends on the way that the rest of their shooters are going. Cause I think the Russ thing like makes sense, but not at the cost of losing KCP, which they weren't, right, you know, directly correlated, but it would have been nice if you didn't lose KCP. It would have been nice if you didn't lose Bruce Brown the year before, cause those are two guys that were a huge part of that championship run for them. So I think like
for them to progress around Jokic, these guys they've drafted in the mid to late first round over the past few years, they've had a philosophy of drafting more NBA ready guys. They need to pop. Like, Peyton Watson needs to pop. Christian Braun needs to take the next step. It appears that he's going to be a starter. So they've created a runway for a lot of these guys. I understand the philosophy that they have, but they're going to need to be development there. All right, let's go to Golden State. Losing Klay Thompson, we've mentioned that already. But bringing in Buddy Hield and bringing in Kyle Anderson. Now, they didn't make the trade everybody wanted them to make, which was Markkanen, mostly because they didn't want to trade Pods, who they're projecting is kind of their two-guard of the future. I've heard a lot of people say that they look better this year than last year. I don't know. To me, it's a push. Maybe. I mean, Klay, again, had I think they kind of maximized what they could do there. I don't know, so B minus, C plus.
I would give it a B.
Okay.
I'm a little bit higher on it just because I think also D'Anthony Melton, you know, mentioned him on yesterday's spot. I think that's a nice get for them. You know, again, none of these moves are, you know, they're not going to swing a championship for them. I don't think they're in that core few, you know, contenders. I do think they're going to be in the mix because I just think Buddy is going to be a nice fit next to Steph. I think, like I mentioned, D'Anthony Melton is somebody who can help you win games. I think Kyle Anderson can help them win games, and I think is going to be a good fit in their system. You probably just don't want to play him alongside Draymond or Looney too much. But, you know, I think along with the growth of Brandon Pajemski, like I think there's some upside here. Maybe if Kuminga takes another step here, like I think they have a nice, you know, cool, solid team, but I don't consider them a contender. I think what they did in the offseason was just fine. Like they added some, you know, solid rotation pieces.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, I'd say maybe a B minus. It does feel like this is headed towards a place where, you know, Steph may ask out, not this year, but I'm not 100% convinced.
They really should have swung for Markkanen. Like, I don't think Pajemski should have been in the way for that.
I agree. To me, if they didn't ask for Kuminga, then you make the move. Like I like Kuminga enough, and it seems like he's gotten out of Kerr's doghouse now. But you're right. I don't think that should have been the impediment to going out and getting Markkanen. All right, let's go to Houston. They didn't do much. After last offseason where they did a lot, right?
So yeah, I mean, they really just did stuff with the draft.
Right. And, you know, the Van Vliet, the Dylan Brooks contracts, I mean, those were signed the previous year. It's just weird, though, because if you always hear these rumors that they're looking to trade their young guys. Like, why would you even consider trading Sengun?
Well, I think this is what happens with these young teams, right? With a lot of kind of up and coming players, is that at some point you're going to have to pay them. And there's been some sort of narrative around like maybe picking between Jalen Green and Sengun. So I'm not 100% sure about like their financial situation. Maybe they're going to have to, but like they were much more competitive than I expected them to be last year, even with those moves that they made. And I think, you know, they've got a little mix there of mostly young guys, but, you know, vets who can help them win now. Like, we'll see if Steven Adams plays for them this year, you know, to kind of go along with like Dylan Brooks and Van Vliet and the other vets they've got there. But I really like their young core. Like, they've got a lot of guys there that are going to be fun. And I think adding Reed Sheppard to that, like, I think he's going to be good. Mm-hmm. He's one of those guys where I'm not worried about him as far as being a positive NBA player. Now, how good he is, that's a different conversation. But I really like the pick for them as far as somebody who I think can just be good right away. And maybe, you know, a third for him is weird in another draft. But in this draft, it made a lot of sense because he fits next to a lot of their guys. Now, how they organize all this into a coherent rotation, that'll be a different thing. But I do like a lot of their young guys individually. So, you know, adding Reed Sheppard to this young core, I think, you know, that's a positive in itself.
Yeah, no, I like him a lot too, and he will fit. Like, they'll plug him in right away, and I think he'll fit. And so he's going to play a lot of minutes this year. But no, they need to decide on some of the young guys. I would not move Sengun. I think he's a core not franchise type player, but I think he'd be a top three guy on a really good team. And so that's one guy I wouldn't look to move. All right, let's look at the LA teams before we get to the break. I'm not really sure what the Clippers are doing, honestly. They signed Derek Jones, who obviously, you know, had kind of a renaissance with Dallas. He's a good fit player. We're familiar with him, obviously. Batum re-signed. Harden re-signed. And you know I'm not a Harden guy. But
well, you say Batum re-signed, but he was on the Sixers at the end of the season. So he made his way back to the Clippers.
Exactly. He made his way. He's been back there. Yeah, exactly. And Harden, you know how I feel about him, but I'm okay with the contract that they gave him. Kevin Porter Jr. is kind of a flyer. But the big thing is Paul George is gone, and this whole build was supposed to be around their elite wings and Kawhi and PG, and it just never worked out. Like, one of them was always hurt, or both of them were hurt. And for everything they gave up for PG, including, you know, a top three MVP guy, it just feels flat right now. Like, I don't know. Like, their chances completely ride on Kawhi being healthy, and that's just not going to happen. I think the Clippers are the team that could drop all the way down to the bottom of the play-in this year. The bottom of the West is competitive, and it's not like the East, where we talked about Chicago and Atlanta kind of locked in the play-in seeds basically because the other teams suck and are trying to lose or trying to get Cooper Flagg. I don't know. I mean, the Clippers moved that new building. The owner, Ballmer, wants to win. That's not a team that's going to win anything this year.
No, I definitely don't consider them a contender, but I do think there's something to be said about, like, you know, if you just imagine it, like, if you compare the Clippers pre-Harden trade, so when it was just built around Kawhi and PG, I think exchanging PG for Harden might be better for them for the regular season, right? Because I just think he gives you a higher baseline. I don't think you worry about his availability quite as much as you do with Paul George. And I do think, like, he is one of those guys where if and when Kawhi is out, he can take, you know, he can have a higher load, a higher usage, and it makes a lot of sense for him. He's still a great playmaker, even though he's not at the top of his game anymore. Still a very good player, right? So I think Harden can play that role when Kawhi is not there. But yeah, other than that, like, very underwhelming summer. Derrick Jones is a nice pickup. Batum, cool pickup. Like, we'll see how that Kevin Porter thing goes, right? It's a very weird situation there. But yeah, I don't consider them a contender. I guess, you know, if Kawhi turns into peak Kawhi in the playoffs, if Harden is available, they've got a shot to beat some of these teams. But no, they're not a contender. Probably say B minus. You're muted.
Oh, let's go to the Lakers. We're going to try to do this in less than a minute because we know every minute is going to be on them from ESPN and the other sources this year. They re-signed LeBron. That kind of matters, right? So we'll start there. And they drafted his son. And they were in talks on a whole bunch of players, but the roster looks pretty much the same. I mean, I like their draft pick. I think he's an interesting Dalton. Another name I can't pronounce. Can you try this for me, Alex?
I'm pretty sure it's Dalton Connect.
I think it is Connect, but it doesn't look right when I say it. That's a guy actually that he may pan out for them. But Reeves is still there, right? Rui is still there. I don't know. Like, they could be better than a play-in team if AD plays 75 games again, which I'm not anticipating, but I give him credit for doing it and playing through the Olympics. LeBron going to be 40. There doesn't seem to be enough help here. I don't know. Like, I mean, it's going to be a circus. And then JJ coaching it, which I'm tremendous respect for JJ, but there's going to be a learning curve with him right off the start. And everything is going to be perceived as a LeBron decision. I think it's going to be messy. So I don't think they did enough. Honestly, I don't think Pelinka did enough. I'm going to say C.
Yeah, I think it's kind of stagnant, right? And I think there's almost some parallels to what fans are, you know, Heat fans are frustrated about with the team, where it's like you expect, you know, the Lakers and the Heat have been thrown in so many, like, you know, trade rumors for the past few years, like, oh, they're going to swing for this guard. And I even kind of thought, like, they were going to get in on maybe Trae Young or something like that this offseason. I was almost expecting that. But then, like, none of that ever really transpired. And I guess the Hawks just decided, you know, they're going to move on with Trae, like we talked about yesterday, and their young core. But other than that, like, just kind of stagnant. I like the Connect pick. He was not supposed to be there at their pick. So that's a positive for them. But yeah, I guess C+ is the best I could give them. And probably the same, like, I should have given the Clippers a C+ too, because that was very underwhelming. So just C+ for both LA teams, I feel.
Yeah. But the Lakers are going to get shoved down our throat. All right. One more before the break here. Memphis. This is one of those weird deals where, like, they didn't do a lot this offseason, but I don't feel like they really had to improve, because you're going to get Morant back healthy. They drafted Zach Edey. Interesting. That's an interesting fit there. I'm curious to see how that works out. And they traded Zaire Williams, who really wasn't playing a lot for them. Where do you see the Grizzlies? Because they're going to be better. Like, I think they're going to compete for a top six. If Bane and Morant are healthy, they're going to compete for a top six this year. Like, they're the one team that other teams need to be scared of jumping them, of being jumped by. What would you say about the Grizzlies?
I mean, I don't think they had, like, a huge off season, right? But I do think I'm 100% with you on that. They're going to be a team to reckon with next season with, you know, Ja back in the picture. And I do think, you know, they've added you know, while they've been kind of bad, right, they've added a couple of guys who are going to be really interesting rotation players for them, younger guys, and G.G. Jackson and Vince Williams. Like, I think those guys are going to be good for them. And so they've added a couple of guys here, right, and the team looks a little different now. Like, there's no more Steven Adams. You've got Santi Aldama in the mix, who I like. I think hopefully – I'm not 100% sure about Brandon Clark's injury status, but if you get him back, that's another solid player in your rotation. I think they have a lot of good players, man. And they obviously have Marcus Smart now. I think they have a playoff rotation there. I think they're going to be a frisky team who can maybe, you know, win a round or even two if things go right. Like, that's kind of like the sneaker, you know, that's the team that's going to sneak in here. And the West is just so deep, man. And then when you get into like some of these other up and coming teams, like that we're going to get into, like, it's going to be hard to figure out how it all pans out. Playoffs wise, but I think they're going to be a good team.
I think they have, there's a Minnesota possibility with them this year where they just win a lot more games than anybody thought before the year. We saw the pieces.
And Edie will be playable. I think Edie will be playable.
Oh, I agree. Oh, I think so too. I think so too. I think people have been too down on him, honestly. Like, I don't think he was a good fit for the Heat. I would not have been in favor of that pick. We talked about it, but I think for them, he's fine. But that's the thing about the West is in the East, we talked about there are five teams that we just know are going to be trash, and they're trying to be trash. In the West, even the down teams, like, there's serious upside. And Memphis is not a down team. Memphis was a top four type team prior to Morant's injury. And you're right. They developed some young guys. I like Gigi a lot. They developed some young guys last year. All right, when we come back, we'll start with the team that, again, did pop last year, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Before we do, I want to mention Lynette, our friend, insurancebylynette.com. Aggressive Insurance Agency, 954-581-8800. Life insurance, car insurance, renter's insurance, homeowner's insurance. She can handle all of it from you for her Lauderhill office. Services the entire Tri-County area. Huge Miami Heat fan. Again, the phone number is 954-581-8800. Insurance by Lynette.com. Two N's and two T's. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space. And that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FIVEFLOOR, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, the Wolves. Kyle Anderson is gone, right? They drafted Dillingham. Didn't do much else. Did they need to?
I don't know how much else they needed to do. They were probably limited as far as what they can do, like in free agency or something. I do think I really like what they did with their draft, you know, to sneak in and get somebody who was considered a top 10 pick, you know, at very worst, a lottery pick. Throughout the entire process, and who people are really excited about, like, you know, Rob Dillingham, you know, he's very small, but I do think you're putting him into his winning situation. He's going to be forced to play a certain role. I don't think he's going to be doing too much. And, you know, again, like, you don't have to play him too much. I think he can just be like somebody that they can go to off the bench to provide some offense. And we'll see what his upside is, right? If he has that star upside that some people think he has, because he's an incredible creator and super shifty. You know, very creative scorer who can shoot from all over the place, you know, crafty finisher. Again, he's just really small and frail compared to NBA players. But I do think, like, adding him to this situation, there's some real upside there. You know, losing Kyle Anderson, if you're a Wolves fan, is not a positive thing. He was a rotation player for them. But I really like them acquiring Dillingham, and I also like them drafting Terrence Shannon Jr. I think he's going to be somebody who can help them in the immediate short term. We'll see how much both of those guys play, but I do think it's like it's worth it for them to try, you know, to incorporate those guys at the very least in the regular season, maybe back end rotation players. But Terrence Shannon has played a lot of years in college, very athletic guy, you know, was a very productive college player. So he's somebody who I think they both, for different reasons, can, you know, are guys who can fit into their future and also in the short term.
Yeah. And to me, the biggest thing for them is, okay, is Cat going to be healthy the entire year? And how does that thing fit? Because they survived his injury last year, and then he came back in the playoffs. He wasn't quite, he wasn't featured as much. And this team is going to keep transitioning more and more to Edwards. And then, of course, it becomes in the playoffs Gobert and whether or not you can play him. But I was okay with them keeping most of the core together. I think their core is good enough to contend. But I think what may happen is, you've got Memphis popping. Some of these other teams are coming up. I like what New Orleans did. We're getting to them next. Like, some of these teams are – it's going to be harder to win the same number of games next year for them, I think, as it was this year. Let's get to the Pelicans, though. David Griffin has wanted DeJounte Murray for a while. He finally got him. A couple first-round picks and Dyson Daniels was basically the trade. Everything with them to me is Zion healthy, because the guy we saw in the play-in game, if they got that guy like at least half the season, they're a threat. They lost Najee Marshall, but other than that, you know, kept most of the team intact. Ingram, they're not going to give him the money, it doesn't appear. They shopped him, they didn't get anything for him. I like the DeJounte trade for them. Like, to me, anything but having CJ McCollum play a dress-up point guard is a good thing for them, and they still have Alvarado on the roster. I think DeJounte fits well with a lot of what they have. If he focuses on defense more than he has the past couple of years, I like the trade. They just got to make the Ingram thing work. If they're not going to pay him, they got to make it work for at least now, because I mean, they basically paid Trey Murphy the third. They basically said that's going to be the guy instead of Ingram going forward, and yet Ingram's still on the roster. But I still would give him a B because I like the trade.
I like the B grade. The trade was good in itself. Like, I think, you know, like you mentioned, losing Dyson Daniels, losing Najee Marshall wasn't a part of the trade, and also Larry Nance was a part of it as well. Like, three rotation players, but DeJounte is kind of, you know, a very good player, very good sub all-star player. Maybe not as good as some people think. Like you mentioned, the defense has to get back on track to where it was in San Antonio. And I think he can do that. I think he can get somewhere close back to that level, because I think the offensive load will be lower here. You know, and that'll, of course, vary, because there's going to be plenty of nights where Zion is gone, and that's a lot of offensive load and shots to go around if he's not playing. But what you mentioned as far as like how this all fits together, that's 100% what I'm going to be watching for, because they didn't move Ingram. So now, like, you've added a guy in DeJounte who, you know, like, the bulk of his shots come in the mid-range. He gets some paint shots, some threes up. But, like, it's how do you fit this into the offense? Who are you starting? Who are you benching, right? Because are you just starting all, like, your offensive guys together, like Murray, Ingram, CJ, Zion? And then they also drafted Yves Missi, who's going to be probably their starting big man, right? Because the only other big they have is Daniel Theis on the roster. So, just to see how they work out this rotation and how they figure this out will be interesting, because like a guy like Herb Jones or Trey Murphy starting, you know, it's probably an easier fit. And maybe you have to bench one of these guys. Maybe it's CJ coming off the bench and that's the compromise. They start Herb Jones instead. But I don't know. I'm going to be interested, because it's a very talented team, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think they're a sleeper if they can all put this together. But I still feels like there's another move here to be made at some point.
Yeah, I think Griffin will make another move. But they're long, they're athletic. But it's all on Zion. But this is the point, though. Like, if this team was in the East, we'd be like, this is like a sleeper threat to kind of get into that top four mix.
Oh, yeah.
But in the West, I just don't know. Like, that, there are a lot of teams like this where it's like, okay, if Ja comes back 100%, Memphis skyrockets. If Zion is healthy the entire season or most of the season, they have enough pieces around him, and they got other pieces that they can move. New Orleans still has a ton of picks that they can move too. There's a lot of flexibility that they have. They didn't give up everything in the Murray trade. So people are sleeping on them a little bit. But I think they're better than the Lakers on paper. I think most of these teams are better than the Lakers on paper, honestly. Speaking of a team that's better than the Lakers on paper, OKC. So re-signed Isaiah Joe, re-signed Aaron Wiggins. The big signing, though, was Hartenstein.
Mm-hmm.
So their grade depends on how much you like that. Oh, and then, oh, I'm sorry. And Caruso, the trade for Caruso, which I love that trade, the Giddy for Caruso trade. Yeah. I mean, I think they overpaid Hartenstein based on what he's been and based on what the CBA has been going forward. I don't think it's going to look bad. The fit is excellent. I think it takes the pressure off Chet in a big way. Cause you don't want Chet to have to play physical. Hartenstein can do those kind of things. We saw him mix it up with the Heat guys. I love the Caruso pickup. I just think that, I mean, he for a team that's trying to win a championship, but as young guys, you get a guy who can defend every guard that you put out there and is going to make big shots. You can play him at the close. I mean, it's almost unfair because they have so many resources to work with that it's like I kind of want to grade them on a negative curve, but honestly, it's an A to me. I love what they did. Like they supplemented their big three young core with perfect role-playing pieces who are like ready to win now, like young vets. Like I really like what they did a lot.
Me too. I think the worst you can give them for what they did in offseason is A-. And even then, I think A is probably closer, because adding Caruso and Hartenstein, like those guys are going to bolster what was already, you know, by the numbers, a fantastic defense. Now they're going to be absolutely elite. Like you mentioned, they can play around with some, you know, kind of combos with, you know, double big lineups. And people had mentioned so many times over the past couple of seasons of, you know, size being their weakness. And over the past 2 years now, they've added, of course, Chet, who didn't play his rookie season. And now he's considered like one of the top three players on the team already. And then you add Hartenstein. Like, it's almost unfair, like you mentioned. They have so many resources. And you didn't even mention their draft. I really like their draft. They drafted Nikola Topic, who... who I think is going to be a high upside guy, probably won't play this year dealing with injury. They drafted AJ Mitchell, who I thought had a really nice summer league. I liked him going into the draft, and Dylan Jones. So they added three like interesting young players to what they have already. We'll see who of these guys pans out, who plays this year, who doesn't. They're probably not going to be like factoring into their rotation this year, but they added some fantastic fits that are going to help them like massively. As far as like kind of elite role players with Caruso and Hartenstein, and then added three guys to their young core who were kind of interesting. So I just think like it's the best of both worlds for them. You know, they've bolstered their championship shot. I think they have a real shot, and you know, at the same time, still have a young core there in the background, just kind of that they're kind of developing.
And they still have pieces that they can move to get another star or pseudo star if they feel they need that going forward. Now let's pivot over to the Suns. I mean, that's some good cheap moves for them. I mean, they re-signed Royce O'Neal, Tyus Jones on a minimum. They desperately needed a point guard. They picked Monte Morris. Two guys, Tyus Jones and Monte Morris, we talked about for the Heat because they're a low turnover, right? Low turnover guys. Those are both guys we talked about. I mean, for a team that didn't have a point guard and missed having a point guard badly, I mean, they got two guys who are, again, not stars, but they can bring up the ball, set you up, hit some threes and aren't going to make a ton of mistakes. And Durant looks healthy. I mean, that to me is the thing. I mean, the Beal contract is always going to be an albatross. But Booker had a great Olympics. They look more like a team now. Like this, you could throw together a rotation that would make sense. Last year, it didn't make sense. I mean, you had Eric Gordon, but it's just another off guard that they were trying to play there. I'll say B+, just because it's with what the resources they had to work with, I thought they did well. I thought, and I don't know if James Jones is making all the calls in there anymore, but I thought that the front office did a good job under the circumstances.
I'm with you on that part. You know, bringing back some of the guys you mentioned already, bringing back Okogie and Grayson Allen too, like that's cool for them. You know, losing Eric Gordon is not going to, you know, end your world, but it's not a great thing either. But yeah, like they needed guys who can help organize an offense, and now you can take some of that load off of their big three. So adding Jones and Morris, it's nice. Like those are solid pieces. They drafted a defensive specialist, right? Because they badly needed defense. And that's still my biggest question about them, how they put this all together, because there's just not very many positive defenders on their team. I don't consider Tyus Jones or Monte Morris like fantastic defenders. Like they can be okay at best. They're fine, you know, at best. But I just think that's going to be a big problem for them. Like unless they really come together and fight their asses off on defense, I think they're gonna struggle on that end of the floor, and they're gonna have to be an elite offense to overcompensate for it, right? Because I think, you know, we saw that blueprint didn't work for them this past season. They're gonna have to get a favorable matchup, but the talent is still there. So I think I would probably be lower on them just because I think they didn't necessarily get much better in their biggest weakness. But yeah, they did need a point guard. I just think it was a little bit overstated because they have so many like levers of offense already. Like offense isn't really the problem. But like I said, they drafted a guy in Ryan Dunn who I actually think can be in the rotation for them if they want to from day one. He just can't shoot for nothing, right? He can't shoot at all. But they've got plenty of guys who can do that. He's a fantastic defender, though. I think they can, you know, they drafted somebody who they can play immediately in the rotation. So yeah, of course, bringing back Royce O'Neal is nice for that too. So, you know, I think B minus, maybe B for them at best.
All right, we're not going to spend a lot of time on the next team because we did 25 minutes on this. Let's just give Cronin an F and move on Portland. We discussed, again, an entire podcast devoted to it. I just don't understand what the direction is. I guess the direction is build around Scoot and Shane and Sharp and try to maybe get something for Simons going forward, but he can't get anything for Jeremy Grant. There have been trades on the table. Again, they made the one trade we discussed for Denny, but we'll move on for them. F, Cronin, that's where we go with it. Let's go to Sacramento. Now, I guess it depends on how much you think DeMar DeRozan helps, because they're paying him basically $75 million over 3 years. They gave up Harrison Barnes. I can tell you flat out, they were considering giving up Kevin Huerter instead of Harrison Barnes. San Antonio preferred Harrison Barnes, and I'll slip this in at the 32nd minute of the podcast. The Heat were in on that. I'll just leave it at that.
Aggregate it.
They were in on it. They're in on it, but I'm not gonna get into more detail on it. But it didn't become a possibility when San Antonio wanted to draft to acquire and keep Harrison Barnes. So I guess it comes down to this again: like how much do you think DeRozan helps them? Because that to me that's the grade.
I still think DeRozan is a very good player. Like we mentioned on yesterday's pod, you know, the Bulls lost a real floor raiser there, and the Kings got one here. I think. Another one where I'm going to be interested about the fit, right? Kind of similar to what we were talking about with the Pelicans. And then also kind of similar to what we were talking about with the Suns. I'm concerned about their defense, right? Like DeRozan is not a positive defender there. He's average at best. So they're going to have to be a team that you better hope you figure this out on the offensive end. I think they can be like very, very potent. And I think that's kind of what they're gambling on here, that they're going to be. You know, I like the Devin Carter pick for them. He's probably not going to play for a lot this year. It depends on the injury status there, but he's, you know, he's a hound of a defensive guard there. You know, we really liked him here for the Heat. But other than that, like, you know, it's kind of an interesting swing move for them, because we had been hearing stuff about like them maybe being in on like a Markkanen or an Ingram or other guys here. So this was their swing. It makes sense, right? Like DeRozan wanted to go somewhere else. They're willing to pay him. It's an up and coming team, and a team like Sacramento that's just like they're desperate to move, you know, to have like playoff experience, right? And I think because of how deep the West is, it's a good move. It's like a good swing, other than just kind of keeping things the same considering what they lost. So I like it. You know, I'll give them a B for the DeRozan and Devin Carter moves, but I don't think this makes them a contender. I just think they can be an even better offensive team if they figure out how to put this all together.
Yeah, I'll say B to B minus. But again, in the West, if you don't do anything, like, you fall behind. And they needed to do something. DeRozan gives them a chance to be better offensively. And, you know, you needed to give Fox someone else that's a proven scorer in those moments. And he is. They will be, which is crazy because DeRozan had that reputation, DeFrozen, and that was actually accurate in the playoffs prior. But he also can be a very good clutch player in the regular season. So that's what they got. And he knows where he can get his shots. And that's the thing. They'll design an offense where he can get his shots. All right, two teams left to go here. San Antonio. They draft Castle, fourth overall, guy who wants to play point. And they trade for Chris Paul. And they also bring in Harrison Barnes. And this feels to me like, again, Pop wants some adults in the room with Wemby, because it's pretty clear that Wemby wants to win now. Barnes, I think, from a personality standpoint, will be a good fit there. He's always struck me as a San Antonio type player. And Chris Paul can still play a little bit. You don't want to be relying on him for more than 15 to 20 minutes. What do you think? Where are they in the Wemby? It feels like they're sort of setting up for a big splash move, but it just didn't happen this offseason. And they were not in on, as in on Trey as, at least to this point, as I was told they were.
Yeah, I think that would have been a really interesting one for them if they had moved in on Trey. There was some talk about them being really in on marketing, so that would have been obviously like a fun acquisition for them. Other than that, I would still, despite not making those swings, they're still really early in that timeline, so I'll give them, you know, some, like, I'm not going to give them flack here. I think B-plus is fair. I think Chris Paul is way past his prime, but he's going to be, all he's doing is trying to set guys up here. Like, I don't think you're going to expect him to be, like, somebody who is running lineups for you and scoring and snaking pick and roll, scoring in the mid-range. Like, we'll see it still, of course, because it's a part of his game. The counter is there, but he's there to set guys up, and he can do that. People wanted a you know, a pure point for that team, and that's what he is at this point, right? He is a pure point. Now, he's just not going to do much else for you, right? But I like that acquisition. I think Harrison Barnes will help them win some more games. I think they also threaded the needle of, like, you know, I got to see what their pick situation is, but if they have a pick in this next year's draft, like, they should still have a pretty good one. Like, you might still be able to add some nice young talent along to you know, alongside what you have already, since you didn't make that big swing. I think they'll be better, but they're not going to be so good that you get a lower pick. Like, I still think they'll have like a lottery pick there. And then I really like the Stephon Castle acquisition. He's going to play for them right away. He's obviously going to be a big part of their future. And I think he's got more point guard capability than some think, and can also play alongside of Chris Paul, in my opinion. I think he's a dynamic kind of combo guard. You know, Harrison Ingram, getting him at the back end of the draft, I think that's a nice one for them. I would have that's one of the guys that I was watching out for the Heat for their second round pick. I think he's going to be able to play immediately as like a 3-and-D type of guy. So, yeah, I think B-plus, solid offseason, and there's still, you know, more to come.
I think the Chris Paul move, dividends will pay off for that in a year or two. I think Wemby's going to pick up things from a leadership standpoint. I know some have issues with the way that CP3 leads, but there's a lot that can be learned there. He's also going to learn a lot of off-the-court stuff that I think is going to be helpful for him. I mean, Chris Paul was the union president for a long time, so I just think – as you're grooming, Pop knows what he's doing with that. That makes a whole lot of sense. And Chris has always wanted to play for him. How much he has left as a player, I don't know that there's much, but they'll be marginally better. And I think that's kind of what they want to be, honestly. They want to have some growth, but like you said, they want to still be able to make a good pick. Well, we'll close here with Danny Ainge in Utah. They basically did nothing. Right? Like I say, I just feel like he's always setting up to do something, right? And then he just ended up re-signing Markkanen. Which I don't have a problem with the re-sign, but it's just like I don't know where they're at. I don't. Like, there are teams in the West that, like, you're kind of like – again, I don't like Portland's build, but, like, I'm looking at some teams in the West. You're like, San Antonio, okay, I get it. Like, they're building around Wemby in a certain way. You've got teams that are contending. You got others who are sort of you know, I think in some ways they're blind, like the Clippers, to kind of where they're at right now. The Lakers, I think, to a certain degree, or that's the case. But as long as you have LeBron, I guess you got to try to compete. With Utah, I don't really know. I don't know. Like, to me, they're not – they'll win some games. I like Keontae George. I like some of their – you know, some of the talent. I think Sexton had a pretty good year there. They'll win games, and then by the end of the season, they'll want to not be winning games. I feel like they've been in that spot for the last 3 years. So I'm just going to – I don't know. I C minus. I mean, they didn't do anything that's going to move the needle for them in any way.
No, but you know what? Like, I don't think that you have to have an aggressive summer to have a good offseason, because I did like what they did with their draft as far as drafting Cody Williams and Isaiah Collier. Like, I think, you know, some high upside there. And they're basically just building out a young core at this point. Like you mentioned, they're going to do the same thing they did the past couple of seasons, where they'll be kind of frisky, right? Like, when Markkanen is playing. They've got some playable guys there, like just vets as far as Sexton and Clarkson. Maybe those guys get moved, right? And they just commit to bottoming out, right? And obviously, they didn't do that with Markkanen. They brought him back and just decided that, like, the returns that they were, you know, hearing on the phone were just not worth trading him for. So re-signing him, and he was a smart move for them, just because they'll be able to trade him whenever he is trade eligible again if they really want to, and they'll be able to still get a really nice return for him. So I think, like, you consider the draft, you consider bringing back Markkanen, like, they probably maximized what they're going to be able to do, because I think, like, the returns that were being talked about, like, with the Warriors, was just not very good, right? The Warriors were offering, like, a couple of picks, and I don't know. Like, I think they can probably get more, and I'm sure Danny Ainge feels that way. He always feels that way. So I think underwhelming, but, you know, they're continuing to build out what's already kind of an interesting young core that's you know, just kind of boiling in there in the background there. So I'll give them a B minus for the offseason.
All right. So I think the overall point we made, and we thank our sponsors, insurancebythenet.com, and also PrizePicks, use the code 5. But still better to be in the East, even with Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Orlando rising a little bit. There's more easy nights in the East, or should be. There are in the West. There are not a lot of easy nights in the West. The easy night is like, okay, we get Wemby tonight. Anyway, have a good day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reason Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now. Save big.